Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 47 of the Panelcast with AJ and Brian. We're going to be bringing you some of the latest in comic book news. We're also going to be doing some updates for Forbidden Panel. We've got some exciting news to just tell you all. And we're going to do some reviews of the comics and movies that we've seen. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Panelcast. I'm AJ, and this week has been pretty nutty for all of us, so without any further hesitation, why don't I toss it over to Brian so that he can introduce us on some new segments.
Okay. One of the first things that I want to talk about here is something that has me very excited. AMC has finally greenlit Frank Darabont to begin working on The Walking Dead TV series, which is something I've been looking forward to for a long time. As our listeners probably know, we're huge fans of The Walking Dead and also of Frank Darabont, with The Shawshank Redemption being one of the greatest movies of all time. So this has been something that we've really been anticipating and looking forward to. So the fact that AMC has gone ahead and given the green light for it, and they seem pretty serious about getting this done, really is making me hopeful that we're going to see The Walking Dead on TV pretty soon. We've got another story here from Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's interesting. Some people decided to kind of go the same route that we did with comic books, although I think they took it one step further. They wanted to try to put together a comic book, and so what they did is they started putting out ads on Craigslist and sort of assembled their comic group together from Craigslist, and then started their own sort of home publishing thing that kind of spawned into a whole, I guess, kind of art collective, you could call it one. I don't know, some sort of, not a hippie commune, but something kind of like that, where there's a bunch of artists just get together and begin working on projects. They call it the Russ House, and they apparently went and purchased all of their own printing and scanning and everything equipment and began just producing comic books and novels. So it kind of gives me hope to know that there's always some way for people to kind of circumvent the mainstream way of going about things and being able to produce something that will get them noticed and produce something that they have more control over. There's a book coming out that is pretty interesting. This is called Supervillains in Philosophy, which everybody knows that there's all kinds of everything in philosophy, Harry Potter in philosophy, and Star Trek in philosophy. But being comic book nerds, I think this one probably is going to appeal to us as something that I really want to read. So it's got some interesting topics, such as discussing the nature of evil, the taking over the world, things like comparing good and evil. I really want to read this book, and I'm probably going to try to pick this up. It came out in 2005, so it's not that new, but I guess they're going and doing a reprint of it, and I want to pick this up, and probably will end up doing a review for it for Forbidden Panel's website. And a little bit of Spidey news. Apparently, Spider-Man 4 is getting axed. Sam Raimi is no longer going to be working on the film, and there are going to be, apparently, Columbia, I guess, Sony's dropping Spider-Man altogether, and Columbia is going to be picking up the Spider-Man mantle with Marvel and producing a new series of trilogies. I guess they're rebooting the whole thing. So after the last three movies, I don't really know how excited I am. I really enjoyed Spider-Man 1 and then Spider-Man 2 less and Spider-Man 3 even less. So more Spider-Man movies, I don't know that we really need them. But I guess you can look for those in 2012. On the plus side, there's not going to be any more Tobey Maguire or Kirsten Dunst. So we've got that. I think that's going to about do it for the news stories that I've got going right now. So I'm going to turn this over to AJ and see what he has as far as the news.
Well, thanks, Brian. But unfortunately, you mentioned all the news that I was going to plan to talk about this week. So there's really nothing more I can add to it. I do want to remind everybody to head over to the website, check out Brandy's new post about why the mashups and zombies won't stop from Publishers Weekly. She put it up today. It's a pretty good article explaining basically the history of zombies and where they came from and where they're going and why they're just an unstoppable force. Something that we kind of are banking on. So, yeah, everyone give that a try. So if there's nothing else, then we'll go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the stuff that we can read.
Hi, this is Justin White of Necrosapien Press and artist of ZKS, the Zombie Kill Squad. And you should come check out ForbiddenPanel.com for all your latest geek needs.
And we're back from our break. Okay, what we're going to do now is to review some of the comics and movies and stuff that we've been enjoying lately. So I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to AJ and see what he's been into.
All right, everybody. Well, this past couple of weeks have been, I don't want to say eventful, but I've been pretty slacking on my side as far as what I've been reading. I did start reading The Fall of the Hulks, Alpha and Gamma, and I can say that my previous prediction of this being a great series was absolutely false. I'm thinking that this is going to be another... it's going to be completely false. I mean, I've started reading this, and I have no hope at all. I mean, it's bad enough that the Red Hulk, they've turned him into, like, this campy, cheesy character. But now they've brought in the Red She-Hulk, and they're bringing in a couple other things, and it just seems ridiculous. So, I don't know. I'll keep on reading in hopes that it picks up, but I have no faith in it whatsoever. What I have been doing, though, is watching some TV. I watched Human Target, which debuted this past week. As many of you may know, Human Target was originally a DC Comics comic book that was put out, I believe, in the 40s or 50s, about a person who would impersonate, he would sell his services to impersonate the people that had, like, hits or assassinations on them. That way he can lure the people in, the assassins in, and kill them himself, thus protecting the people that he was guarding. It was made into a TV series in the late 70s and 80s, but it didn't pan out too well, so they're trying to give it a reboot now. It's starring Mark Valley, who many of you may remember from the pilot episode and maybe the first three episodes of Fringe as being the love interest of Anna Torv, Olivia, the main character there. And it also has Chai McBride, who had no problems in swapping over from his previous TV show over to this, and he's just cool in everything I've seen him in. And it also stars Jackie Earle Haley, who, let me tell you, he is milking the success that he has had from Watchmen. Many of you may know he was Rorschach in Watchmen, and he really was off the radar for the longest time before then. I mean, last time I saw him was either on the Will Ferrell movie, or when he was playing Kelly in the original Bad News Bears back in the late 70s. So here he is on this show playing an intimidating character at 5'6", and he's doing a great job in it. I love seeing him in active TV and active roles because, I mean, he's a really good character. He's a really good actor. He just doesn't have that look. You know, his face is a little scarred and stuff like that, so he doesn't really get cast a lot in a lot of mainstream shows. So seeing his success here and the fact that he's going to be the next Freddy Krueger in the new Nightmare on Elm Street movies gives me a lot of hope, and I like seeing him on that. I also checked out The Book of Eli, which is starring Denzel Washington and Mila Kunis. It's the first return of the Hughes brothers working as a team since 2000 when they did From Hell, which was done by Alan Moore. It was the original graphic novel done by Alan Moore and made into a movie in 2001 by the Hughes brothers, starring Johnny Depp and Heather Graham. Now, that movie pretty much bombed. Everyone hated it. Nobody really appreciated it. And since then, they stopped working together, which is sad because previous to that, they did some great work in Dead Presidents and Menace to Society. So after that long of a hiatus, they finally came back in and doing this movie, The Book of Eli. Now, it's a post-apocalyptic tale starring Denzel Washington as a wanderer, a guy walking through middle America trying to head west to go to where he feels he's needed to be, because he finds the last remaining Bible on the planet, and so he's trying to get it to where it needs to be so that he can help spread the word. Along the way, though, he runs into Gary Oldman, who's running this little small town thing, And Gary Oldman wants the Bible because he wants the power that the Bible possesses. Not so much the power, but the words and the faith that it'll instill in the people that he's trying to command and rule over. And so he's trying to use that book in his own nefarious manner. The movie itself was pretty cool. It's full with a lot of visuals. I mean, there's a lot of times where I'm just sitting there going, damn, I'd like a poster of that, you know, or that would look great framed on my wall. They did a good job with the cinematography. It's just phenomenal. Story-wise and writing-wise, though, it was a smash-up between Yojimbo and Fifth Element. I mean, there's even a part in the film where Gary Oldman is looking at the book, and it's so very familiar to the part in Fifth Element when he's opening up the chest. And then he slams it down, and he's like, what the hell is this? You know, very, as if he's mirroring that scene from Fifth Element. So I had problems with that, but otherwise I thought it was an awesome movie. The ending is very, just not impactful. It's just very too mellow and too, like, you knew it was going to happen. So it wasn't as impactful as it should have been, but the rest of the movie did a great job. Now, I also watched The Road the same day I saw The Book of Eli, because I figured, well, I'm watching a post-apocalyptic movie about a guy walking. Why not watch one about a guy walking with his kid? So I checked out The Road as well, and in comparison to The Book of Eli, The Road is more dramatic and has a lot of better acting in it. But where The Road fails in that it's pretty boring and has, like, again, a lackluster ending that kind of contradicts the entire story point of the movie. The Book of Eli has a lot more action, and Denzel being pretty smooth and badass. And Mila Kunis, I mean, come on, it's Mila Kunis. You're going to stare at her forever anyway. So if you have a choice, I mean, if you're into the deep ideological sense of the post-apocalyptic world and what's going on, then check out The Road. It's based off a novel by Cormac McCormack, which is pretty good. It's the second adaptation that they've done off of his books, the first one being No Country for Old Men, and we all love that movie. So it's kind of sad to see this movie come out and not be as impactful as that movie was. Book of Eli, though, was pretty cool. See it in the theaters, because I don't think it'll be as cool seeing it on TV as it is seeing it on the big screen. So yeah, there you have it. That's all I have for this week. Brian, what did you read?
Well, one of the things that I did was I was at the Barnes & Noble and picked up Ultimate Iron Man. I saw Orson Scott Card's name emblazoned on the front of it, so I was like, oh, I'll pick that up and read it. It was a trade of the first five issues of Ultimate Iron Man. It goes through, I guess, the origins of Ultimate Iron Man. I have to say, the art was fantastic, and I really liked the artwork in it. I was actually really kind of disappointed with Orson Scott Card's writing of the story. It just didn't really seem to make any sense at all to the Iron Man story that we all know. Like, it was almost turning him into a superhuman, which is not Iron Man at all. Iron Man is supposed to be this guy who is just really smart and has a lot of money, but is actually sort of crippled because, you know, he's like kind of weak and sickly on his own, and he uses his Iron Man persona to make himself stronger. At least that's kind of how I familiarized myself with Iron Man. And yeah, they changed it a little bit with the movie that came out, but not really. I mean, they still kind of incorporated him getting hurt and having to kind of create the Iron Man technology to save himself, which that's always what I thought. And then in this, they basically sort of make him indestructible, and I didn't like that. It didn't make any sense at all. They were basically taking Iron Man and turning him to a superhuman, which, if he's going to have superhuman abilities, why does he need the Iron Man suit? It just seemed to kind of invalidate the whole existence of Iron Man. So I don't know that I'm actually going to continue on the rest of this series. I think I'm just going to avoid Ultimate Iron Man altogether. But the art was nice. I liked the art. It was very well drawn. Just the dialogue was really cheesy, and the storyline didn't make any sense at all. That was kind of a disappointing. I didn't really care for that so much. That was all I read as far as comic books go. But one of the things that I have been doing is I've been reading a lot of zombie novels lately. I received for Christmas a copy of the book Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. And then I actually enjoy a lot more than Ultimate Iron Man. And I didn't think that I would. I didn't really know how I was going to feel about the novel. On the one hand, it sounded like a really funny, clever idea, but on the other hand, it was Pride and Prejudice, which I'm not a huge fan of Jane Austen. I'll put it that way. But something about the way that this book was written just makes it was thoroughly entertaining. Like, the way that the guy rewrote the novel with the zombies back into it almost kind of made the sort of pedantic Victorian dialogue and obsession with high culture and everything that they have from the original novels, and then interspersed with, like, this really violent zombie mayhem and, you know, ridiculous things with ninjas, and it somehow the two aspects of those stories just meshed together well, and it came out pretty fantastic. It's really enjoyable. I will say that the book is a very slow read. If anybody's familiar with Victorian literature, the pacing is really like that, where it just you kind of have to pay attention to what people are saying, because there's a lot of innuendo and nuance in the book. But it's thoroughly enjoyable. I definitely like it more than the original novel. And I've also been reading, if anybody is familiar with this particular writer, David Wellington. He's probably most known for his vampire novels. But he tends to write a lot of sort of post-apocalyptic types of stories. But he wrote a trilogy of zombie novels. And I am on the third book, Monster Planet. It's Monster Island, Monster Nation, and Monster Planet, that deals with the sort of world being taken over by zombies. I like these books because they're kind of a different zombie novel. In these ones, there are the slow, stupid zombies that everybody's used to, but they have more intelligent undead that sort of, like, spring up, and the plot in this, it kind of gets a little more intricate than just people fighting to stay alive, and it deals with a lot of, like, them and their interactions with these more intelligent zombie creatures. And it's just sort of interesting. It's more of a mystical backing than, like, some of the other zombie novels, where it's a disease or just some unknown zombie plague. Like, this one has a little more of a mystical background to it, and deals with things like, you know, mummies and ghosts and stuff like that. But it's the way that it's put together is really interesting, and I think people will probably enjoy these novels a lot. I know that I have. And then, of course, you know, the characters, the main characters in the books, are also a lot different than your typical zombie novel survivors. In the first novel, it actually deals with this guy who's leading an army of a bunch of 12-year-old Somali girls. And then, so that's actually a pretty interesting thing. I've never seen something like that done before in any type of post-apocalyptic. It's always some, you know, usually a group of adults, and it's usually people that either in, like, suburban or city life that kind of get thrust into this. So it's interesting to kind of see a perspective of, you know, taking these girls, basically been raised as warriors because they live in such a tough environment, and then showing how they would deal with the zombie apocalypse. So that's pretty much what I have been reading lately. And I think that's going to do it for us, unless you've got anything else.
No, I'm good.
Okay, well, if there's nothing else, then we'll go ahead and take a quick break and be right back.
Hi, this is Brandy Ossett, Reiki Master Teacher and High Priestess, and also author of The Goddess Guide. Please visit my website at brandyossett.com for information on all things spiritual and mythological.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. So, this segment we wanted to talk a little bit about the Forbidden Panel news that's going on with us. I'm sure about now you're probably hitting the skip button on your little iTunes, on your little iPod there. But, you know, for us it's important. We want to share it with you guys. So the awesome news is that we are done with ZKS. We finished up with it last week. All the art and all the lettering, all the inking, everything is completely done and finalized. It has been sent to the printers. We will have copies of the comic book in February in time for the Roseville Comics and Collectors Show. So we ask you guys, please come on out. Come out and see us. The first five people that walk up and say, hey, I heard about this on the panel cast, will receive a free copy of the comic book. Justin and I will be there signing. Brian, I know, is going to try and make it there. Brandy will also be there promoting her book, The Goddess Guide. So, yeah, we're very amped and excited about this. The book looks great. Justin did an amazing job. I do want to take this opportunity to thank everybody that helped work on the project. Brandy for doing the characters. Ryan helping me flesh out the story and doing the cover. Brian for doing the scripting and some of the lettering and, again, helping me out with the story as well. This just came about, I mean, yeah, it took about a year, but I'm so happy with the final product, and I'm just grateful for everybody. So, yeah, come out to the Roseville Comic Show. We will have issues there. Like I said, the first five people that walks up and says they heard it on the panel cast, we'll get it for free. Otherwise, it's $1.50 for each issue. We'll have some posters there as well, some other stuff. That's pretty much it for the Forbidden Panel news that I had. Let me toss it over to Brian because he wants to relate some experiences over to you too.
Okay, well, let me, first thing I want to say is that I'm really excited about this comic book. I mean, we've been talking about it for a long time. I mean, fuck yeah, we got it done. It's done. I'm excited. Whew. Oh, I think I have the vapors.
There you go.
Okay. Now... yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about my experiences with interviewing Bray Grant, which anybody that listened to the interview probably noticed that I wasn't on there too much. There's a reason for that. I happen to be a very, not antisocial, but I have a lot of social anxiety and things, and so I was nervous as hell. I felt like I was on the verge of being sick the whole time. And it's not even because, you know, she's a celebrity or anything like that. It just it's talking to people that I don't know is always a really difficult thing for me. That's part of the reason why I started doing the Geek podcast, is to try to sit down, you know, and do one-on-one discussions with people that I don't necessarily know that well and do it. But, you know, I really want to thank Brea for sitting down with us to talk. She was extremely friendly. She was really great to talk to, and I started feeling more comfortable towards the end there. I wish that I had actually come in and said a little bit more during the interview, but, it was kind of a nerve-wracking thing for me. But, I mean, she was really friendly, just, you know, nothing pretentious or rude about her at all. She was great. And then anybody has realized that I did get another Geek Girls episode done finally. I actually ended up making this one a little bit of a longer one to sort of make up for the time that I haven't been doing them. It's been sort of difficult to schedule the Geek Girls. It's just scheduling, and I'm not getting a lot of contact from people that want to do it, so I'm really having to make the effort to go out and find people, which is fine. You know, it's not that big of a deal. Just really getting the time to do it. This last one, though, this girl that I was talking to, I've been talking to her online for probably about a year now. So this one was actually one of the easier ones to do, and you'll notice that just because of the length, we just went on, and it was almost kind of like sitting down and just talking with an old friend. So that was pretty entertaining. But really, I want to get Geek Girls moving forward. I want to try to get some more things done, and I really would like it to be more than just sort of a, you know, a little side companion thing to the panel cast. I'd like to have it be, I guess, a more influential part, or maybe a bigger part of what we're doing in panel. So really, I just want to implore anybody out there, if you have a girl in your life somewhere that's geeky and you think would like to sit down and do an interview and just talk about anything. It doesn't have to be comics. It doesn't have to be movies or Star Trek, or just something that she can sit down and geek out about for whatever reason. You know, send me an email, brian@forbiddenpanel.com. I really really would like to be able to sit down and get some more of these done on a regular basis. And it really doesn't take all that long at all. I usually, for the most part, aside from this last one, do about 12 to 15 minutes. So, you know, maybe 30 minutes total sit-down time, and then, you know, a little bit of discussion before and after. I take some breaks in recording, and sometimes record them straight through. It just depends on how it goes. But, yeah, about 15 minutes talk time, 30 minutes total out of your life, and that's it. You're done. And, you know, your chance to promote any sort of projects you have, or just, you know, get a chance to be recognized as a geeky girl. That's about all of the announcements and things that I have to talk about. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you, AJ, for whatever final statements we've got.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Brian. Yeah, you know, the Geek Girls, I'm really digging. If you guys haven't had a chance to listen to them, go over, check it out, listen to it. It's really cool just to hear these girls just open up and be as geeky as they possibly can. And we're really appreciative of them showing up on there. One last thing I wanted to mention before we take our next break is that we are having, we started up this thing in conjunction with Four Color Fantasies called the Comic Book Book Club. And what it is a chance for all of us geeks to get together, get out of the house, go sit down in an outside environment, and just talk about the comic books and stuff that we like. We'll be sitting there and deciding on what comic books we want to read that week, and then coming back the next week and discussing it. You know, for those who either want to get involved in the comic book world and know more about it, or just are looking for some friends, because as many of you may know, or has a geek in their life, the only way you're getting them outside is at a convention or a midnight showing. So this is a good way to get them to come outside and meet other people and, you know, just converse with us. So if you get a chance, hit me up, the aj@forbiddenpanel.com, for some information. I will let you know. Four Color Fantasies has been awesome enough to want to sponsor the event. They are offering free food and drinks during the event, as well as 30 to 40% off any of the titles that we're deciding to read on that week. So if we decide to read the Watchmen graphic novel, 30 to 40% off of that book, and we could all buy it right then and there, and then come back the next week and discuss what we thought about it. So it's a cool opportunity. So if you can, just drop me an email, and I'll get you all the information you need. Also doing sign-ups at the store itself. So, yeah, it'll be pretty cool. Yeah, that's all I have for this segment. Why don't we take a break? When we come back, we'll say goodbye.
Hey, this is John from the Hightower Comics. I count everybody to go check us out at www.hightowercomics.com, where you will get the height of independent comics.
Welcome back, everybody. All right, now we're going to go ahead and wrap up episode 47. I hope everybody had a good time listening to the show. Please remember to just send us any comments or feedback that you have to aj@forbiddenpanel.com or brian@forbiddenpanel.com. I also want to implore you to please go to the websites for some of our friends, such as necrosapien.net, hightowercomics.com, fourcolorfantasies.com, brandyosset.com, and rosebowlcomicshow.com. You can always keep coming back to the site for more comic book news and updates, as well as be able to read our columns, which I promise I'm going to start writing more of. You can also add us on Twitter. It's twitter.com/forbiddenpanel. And I just want to ask everybody, well, please just drop us a line. Tell us what you think of the show. We really want to hear from you. Without further ado, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up, unless, AJ, you've got any more closing comments.
No, I'm good. Just want to remind everybody to keep checking the site. Check out HightowerComics.com. It's their new segment on our site for their webcomic. We're hosting their webcomic there. Check it out. Let us know what you think. Otherwise, I'm good to go.
Okay, everybody.
Night.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.